Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Freddie Schaff, and thanks for listening in to Two Guys in a Toolbox. It's been several weeks. We got through the holiday season, and we're kind of getting back out there. We've gotten through all the hectic holidays, and things are kind of returning to normal. First off, I'd like to send a big shout out to Paul. Thanks for his sponsorship on this podcast. Really appreciate it. And I'm really glad to a lot of the positive feedback. Did get some negative feedback over the last few weeks since I haven't published anything and got out there for the viewing or the listening audience. I would like to say I have finally surpassed over 750 listeners. And that was a kind of a goal I set forth for my whole intent. Did get a lot of negative feedback and why we hadn't been out publishing any episodes the last several weeks, but I think everybody understands, that going through this time of year can be kind of stressful. Obviously with families going here, there, the hustle bustle of the holidays. But I've had a lot of really good conversations over the last several weeks. Met with a lot of, good people that I work with, and a lot of people that I just never have talked with in my life just reached out to me and had a lot of comments. So, coming into the new year, and I think this would be a key topic for this evening is obviously when we're looking at maintenance and engineering, we have whatever company we're working for, we have goals set forth, which are typically top down. And as they're distributed throughout the different business units within a company, it would be great to think that, each and every one of us have an opportunity to develop a goal or an agenda for the next year, which, ties into to these strategic goals that, senior leaders within companies put out. Too many times, though, is what I've heard, what I've seen is we just put something out. Hey, this is the goal for this year. We're going to do increase, let's say, PM on time completion percentage by 5%. Well, maybe the last year we were only actually 50%. So, really, when you think about it, how hard is it to increase that 5% to achieve the goal? Granted, now that was put out to you by senior leadership within your organization, and hey, you're going to follow it, you're going to meet your objectives. When you break it down, you need to hit about a increase about 1% in a quarter, and I think we all could agree if you wanted to increase your on-time completion percentage by 1.25% for a quarter, we all could do that with our eyes closed. What was kind of really disturbing is, as I've met with people over the last several weeks and had conversations with throughout my travels, is that we kind of, and I like to call them, nobody really talks about what's your personal goals, or better yet, personal professional goals. I think everybody has ideas what and agendas that they'd like to accomplish over the next year, but do we really put those out in front along with, obviously the objectives that are put out by our senior leadership teams across our organizations? But we may think of some, as we come into the new year and say, man, I really want to do this. I want to, ensure anytime we have a significant downtime event, we do a proper root cause analysis and get to the root cause of what happened and how can we prevent it. But I think a lot of times, we just get into the five hows. How did it happen? And we can point fingers. Or we can look at area, I shouldn't say point fingers, but a lot of times, let's be honest, it does turn into a finger pointing because, obviously in a manufacturing environment, who's the easiest scapegoat? It's always maintenance problem. It's a maintenance problem. And then when you talk to the maintenance people, well, it's an operations group. It's some other support group that they don't understand, or they haven't been trained, or they're just not taking initiative. There's no accountability. So you know what? We can sit there and talk about getting to the root cause, but I think a lot of times we just get the five hows versus the five whys. So I think it's important that each and every maintenance leader within an organization, be it the senior maintenance manager, be it a corporate maintenance manager, be it a first line supervisor, a maintenance superintendent, so on and so forth, that we all have something that we personally in our professional day-to-day lives that we want to accomplish. I've had one over the last 5 years. It's been a reoccurring personal professional goal, I like to call it. And probably over the last 5 years, and I've had this every year, have and I realize I haven't achieved that goal yet, but I just keep hammering away. I hammer away, take a little piece of the pie at the time, and I'm finding that this goal, this personal professional goal that I have, is it's gaining momentum. Yeah, it's taken me 5 years. And kind of thinking back to a good friend of mine, an esteemed colleague, probably one of the best instructors, teachers, coach that I've ever met, Dr. John Ross, is it's not a sprint. What we're doing every day, it's not a sprint race and see, hey, we're gonna run the 100 meters and under 10 seconds to get to the finish line. This what we do every day in the maintenance and engineering realms, it's a marathon. This is the 100 meter dash versus the Boston Marathon. So, keep that in mind when you're setting the goals, because like I said, I've had one for 5 years. And the first year I put this out, I actually a lot of times I put it down on paper. I have a, I like these the line notebooks, and I have one that kind of just I keep for personal use. I keep it in the office, and I just jot things down. We all know that we've forgotten more than we'll ever actually know over the course of our careers, but it's important. Write these things down. So, throughout the when I first set this personal professional goal 5 years ago, and kind of sad to say I'm going into year six, but I'm really super excited this year. I think with some changes and with our within my organization, I think we have a real chance in taking it to the next level. But I found that I've kind of whittled away at my obstacles. Well, when I talk about obstacles, it's like, what I'm talking about is, well, we've always done it this way. We don't want to change. But finally you bring things to the forefront where, it's driving the change. We need to drive this change. And like I said, I've probably only achieved maybe 5, maybe 10% of this goal over the last 5 years, now going into year six. So I should be, hey, looking forward to it. Keeps me coming back to work every day and every year. Because I have this goal in mind, I guess a vision where I see my organization's maintenance and engineering group getting to, and obviously with a lot of changes we have with internally within our company, externally with outside of our company, there's a real potential this year where, hey, maybe I can get more than that 5 to 10%. I think I'll be able to, can I do 25 and 30% of the goal? Because I'm really excited. I don't sound it. You have to forgive me. Kind of got the nasty flu bug, getting over it. So I'm kind of still have a little congestion going on up there. So I think that's it's very important because I spoke with a lot of people about this, and a lot of times when I bring this up, it's like, okay, what do you personally want to do over the next year? Well, obviously put a roof over my head, put clothes in my bag, food on that. No. You in your professional life, what do you want to do? Is it, accomplish an agenda that you've had on the back burner for a while in your organization? Is it, developing your professional skill set? Is it developing your subordinates, your team members, the people under you? Never forget about that one. That's always should be there on your goals every year. Yeah, and again, this personal opinion. Developing. What if you're not there tomorrow or the next day? Who's going to take over for you? Well, hopefully it's your number two that you've been coaching and mentoring over the last number of years you've worked together. And basically you're kind of, it's a next man up philosophy. Because really, in all honesty, if you're not doing that for your team members, guess what? Kind of goes back to the old circle. Are we really, are do they feel they're adding value to the organization? Are they getting personal satisfaction for coming in every day? Are they achieving their personal career goals? Because more than likely, if you're not doing that, guess what's going to happen? Your number two that you worked with maybe 5, 10, maybe 15 years or less, he's probably going to take an opportunity, he or she, excuse me, is going to take an opportunity to go to another company, another organization where he's going to get that development. So keep that in the back of your mind. Had an interesting conversation last week with some folks, very good people. They have a lot of, they share a lot of my same visions, my same agendas. But they sometimes, when I propose that question out there, I think it was a group of about 8 of us there. It's, nobody had anything. Nobody could tell me anything. And I guess I was kind of, for no better words, I was kind of disappointed because all these people are hell of a good. They're really excellent, outstanding people, fun to be around, fun to work with. They all have their outstanding qualities. They have, everyone, just like everybody, I'm not sitting here. We all have opportunities to improve ourselves. But that kind of disturbed me that all these individuals work for the same organization in different locations. But there was nothing that nobody, maybe they didn't want to share, but I think, I've known these folks for quite a few years and we have an open forum. And nobody brought anything up. It was just like you could hear the pin drop. And I kind of left it at that. And I'm going to bring the subject up again next time I speak with these folks, and talk to them. Maybe on a one-on-one basis instead of the group. Maybe some folks, obviously, when some agendas they have, maybe one of their peers, they already have accomplished that and they're above and beyond. But it's a lot of it just boils down to, and as we get more robust MES systems out there, get your house in order. And what I mean by that, I mean get your maintenance teams in order, get your storeroom teams in order, your utility guys. If you have wastewater teams where you're treating wastewater before you discharge into the city, get those teams in order. Clean your house because obviously, as we progress into this next century, real-time reporting, MES systems are going to be so much more important. And, if we don't, from a maintenance and engineering standpoint, if we don't have our houses in order, guess what? We're not going to change anything. It's going to be the same status quo it has been the 35, 45, maybe even 50 years that operations has a bad day. Maybe they just didn't execute. Maybe, they didn't feel like executing. But they're always gonna, well, what was the problem? Well, this machine, this piece of equipment didn't run right. This machine was broke half the day. And if we're, as maintenance organizations, we're not documenting and ensuring all that work's documented, we're not driving root cause analysis to the significant events that happens. And when I talk about a significant event, that's a threshold each and every one of you have to set for your organization, be it, if you classify a significant event for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30, whatever, that's your choice, and how your organization is run. But let's start driving that stuff out of our teams there. And put forth goals, just not what we like to do, copy and paste is a wonderful thing, to an extent, versus having to type something in or write something down that's meaningful and set forth achievable goals for your team members. But get your houses in order. Look at, okay, what are we doing wrong today? And I kind of go back again to my outstanding colleague, Dr. John Ross, is when you really think about it, let's break maintenance engineering down. Let's make this analogy about baseball, softball. So when you're a youngster, let's say maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you're playing t-ball, or you're have a pitching machine out there. When you go to practice, what are you doing? You're learning how to throw the ball, you're learning how to catch the ball, and you're learning how to hit the ball. That's the basics. When we get right down to it, that's what baseball, softball is all about. Pitch the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball. Or hit the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball. Okay, sorry about that. Gotcha. My son's over there playing Xbox shouting, so you have to forgive it. It picked up in the background noise. Thought he was having a seizure or something in there, but these kids, they don't have interaction. But so getting back to the baseball. So, you're in your peewee, your t-ball, whatever league you want to call it. Okay, we're learning how to throw the ball, hit the ball, and catch the ball. So we go up to the next level. Let's say, maybe you're back in my day, they called it the Pony League, or maybe you're in junior high, and really you go to practice every. And what are you still working on? You're still practicing the fundamentals, the basics. You're throwing the ball, catching the ball, hitting the ball. And then when you get up to high school, the college level, you go to practice. You may bring, maybe you're a pitcher and you want to say, hey, you've been throwing heaters your whole life. You got a hell of an arm. You can throw over 100 mile an hour fastball. Well, everybody can get your timing down eventually and start teeing off on you. Well, hey, I want to start working on a curveball. So you're putting another tool in your toolbox. For example, you're learning the curveball, but most of the practice, maybe you're out there for 2, maybe 3 hours. Maybe you work on that curveball, maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Rest of the time, what are you doing? You're working on throwing the ball, hitting the ball, catching the ball. So then we get to college, similar thing. You go to practice. Maybe you're working on learning how to throw a slider. So you put another tool in your toolbox, but once again, rest of the practice, what are you working on? Throwing the ball, hitting the ball, catching the ball. Finally, you make it to the majors. You're out there, limelight, you're in front of packed stadiums every day, full press at all your practices. When you go down to spring training, you may work a little bit on conditioning, strength training, but what are you still doing in the bulk of the practices? You're still throwing the ball, hitting the ball, and catching the ball. Basics, basics, basics. And I try to reinforce that with folks I talk to. It's getting back to the basics, doing the basics very well day in and day out. Because when you look at the big grand scheme of things, I mean, and I know probably some folks out there. And I'm going to get this number wrong, but I'm going to just throw out there. There's over 125 metrics and measures that weekend evaluator, maintenance, and engineering teams by. But really, when you think about it, all those will fall in line if we're doing what to the best of our ability every day. The basics. We're getting our PMs completed on time. We're keeping our work order backlog down. We are doing effective preventive maintenance. We've incorporated predictive maintenance. We're looking at our labor utilization. We're looking at, we're evaluating how effective our PMs, how many corrective actions are we finding from our PM inspections. We're looking at reactive versus planned maintenance work. So those are pretty much, there's a few more. I'm not going to, bore everybody with the details. There's a few more that we could go into. But if you take those six to nine basic maintenance and engineering functions, and you do those well every single day, it doesn't matter what those other metrics say, because if you're doing the basics very well every single day, guess what? All those are going to just fall in line. And hey, nobody can sit there. You'll eventually be a world-class organization. But really, when you look at a lot of these world-class organizations, a lot of great ones out there too. And I've had a chance to talk to a lot of the folks and really have an understanding of what they do. And it's a reoccurring theme. They're always looking at the basics. So that's where I'm going to leave you guys today. Appreciate everybody listening in today. Once again, if you have any comments, concerns, complaints, if you'd like to be part of the podcast, feel free to shoot me a message. You can reach me at freddyshaft70@gmail.com. And hey, let's hopefully by the next time I get an episode out there, everyone has set some personal professional goals they'd like to achieve. One thing I do want to say before I finally sign off is we actually did Christmas Day. We did a Christmas Day evening episode with my good friend KB. And I brought in his comic relief, CeCe. Now, CeCe, she has an extensive manufacturing background, but not so much in the maintenance and engineering realm. But we had an awesome episode, and I think we ended up recording maybe 1 hour 15, 1 hour 20 minutes. It was way over, kind of funny. So I was doing the whole publishing, and like I said, Freddie likes to keep it real here. We're totally uncut. So, mistakes, we're not ashamed. We all make mistakes. But it was an awesome episode. So I started listening to it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. And I was going to publish it that night. Lo and behold, when I was uploading the episode, it did not go through. And I was like, oh my God, it didn't save to my library. And so I lost that whole episode. So we're trying to reschedule. To get CC and KB and your good friend Freddie and try to redo this episode so we can get out there. We'll probably choose the next holiday. I don't think we'll do Valentine's Day, but we'll pick some strange holiday and we'll call it our holiday episode. But hey, just want to say thanks again for the listener support. Appreciate the followers. I appreciate the good, the bad, the ugly feedback. Everybody have a safe evening, and we'll talk to everyone later. Thank you.